Parak Chok, Malachim Beis, so goes like this. The Yamin Hain, Chol Chizkiyo Lamus. Chizkiyo got sick enough that he was ready to die. But everybody loved Yeshayahu ben Amoz, a Navi. Yeshayahu ben Amoz came to him, the Navi, everybody loved Kol Marashem. This is what Hashem says, Tav Leviseho, command your household, in other words, give a will. Kimes Tav Leviseho, you're going to die and you will not live. Obviously, if you die, it's always good to die and live after that. But this is death and not living, meaning lose Olam Haba as well. The answer was part of like here.
Okay, let's say, you know, he didn't have kids or anything, but he did so much good. Like, this all that got wiped away completely because of that?
No.
Well, look what happened to him before. All that good got wiped away when he didn't sing that song.
No, but that was like, he didn't get a reward. Who's Olam Haba?
But it does make sense. Let's learn it this way. He was a king. He had tremendous tov in Olam Haba. So, somebody who has that much good in this world, it could be that he was rewarded for his goodness in this world. Now, I don't know. But it could be that's what he had. When it says Lo Sichya, you won't live in Olam Haba, it's because you got all your rewards.
Shlomo had, I mean,
crazy amounts or whatever it is.
Shlomo had everything.
You're right. I don't know. I don't have a good answer to that question. I don't know what would have happened to his stuff. Probably he would have been rewarded in some way while punished in some other vein. I don't know. I don't know what would be with that. But if I asked the pun of a lakir, he turned his face to the wall, but he followed Hashem Leimor, and he davened to Hashem, saying, Ano Hashem, please Hashem, remember that I walked in front of you, Ba'emes of a Lev of Shalom, in truth and a full heart, and I did what's good in your eyes. And he cried a very great cry. So here is what we have about Chizkiyo. First of all, we have no idea when this happened. This could be that it happened before Sancheirib had taken over. In other words, this parak is out of order. And that parak Yerchatz and parak Yerchatz was right there. It doesn't matter, especially not Navi. So we don't know exactly when this was. It also makes sense that if he was sick at the time, that he was sending out the other people to the wall to go listen to what Rav Shakeh had to say over there. So it's very possible that that's what it's referring over here. And then, was he's going to have a Nevuah. There's going to be a Nevuah told to him by Yeshayah that he's going to recover and that Sancheirib is going to be destroyed. That obviously was a reference to Sancheirib just being destroyed, that they were going to be around there. It could be that's the reason why, and could be that's the idea behind it. Others say that after Sancheirib was destroyed, Ashur was still a great country. That Sancheirib may have been gone, his great army may have been gone, but the country of Assyria still existed as a nation. He was just the general, but he wasn't the king, so to speak. And therefore, powerful, and also with a huge army, even though Sennacherib's army would have been destroyed. Now, Sennacherib seemed to have been the king. We kept mentioning his name, but I guess according to this parish, then the people up above would have been different names. Tiglas Pileser and all those guys were actual people, and Sennacherib was just the general of the army. Maybe I have to say that. So, I don't know. We'll have to see as we go on what it's going to be. Now, this illness that Chizkiyo suffered wasn't natural. The reason why is because he had not shown proper respect when he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't tremble when he spoke in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nor did he do what a king should do, which is bowing at every single bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. Now, even though a normal person cannot do that, a king has to bow at the beginning and the end of every single bracha that he goes.
There's no Shmoneh Esrei at this point.
I'm sorry? Whatever your tefillah was. You're correct. But whatever the tefillah was, a king is required to do so. By the way, it is brought down that a king has to daven at the beginning and the end of every bracha. So they must have had something, even if it wasn't the Shmoneh Esrei that we have. Whatever it was, that's what he's got to bow for. The other one, and the famous one, the one that we know from the Gemara, is that Yeshayah came to him and said that you're dying because you didn't have any children. You never got married and you didn't have any children. I just want you to think for a second of a king of an entire nation never getting married. And we're not talking about a person who would be a Kutzadika guy who's sleeping around with other women. If he never got married, that means
the same life.
That means he's a king of an entire nation of Klal Yisrael, a king who never was together with a woman.
No, but that may not be the case.
What do you mean? He wasn't married.
It was a different situation. He could have had a pool, I guess. He may not have been married.
He can't have a pool, I just
thought of Nisha.
Can't be a false story, because then you'd have to marry her. You'd have the situation of a wife. Meaning none of those
he would have at least had the risk of having kids.
He didn't even try it.
But does anybody else see, does the Tanakh ever mention this was the actual Avera?
No, doesn't mention it. It's only from the Gemara itself, and that's that.
Does anybody ever offer a different
The other one was the first one, that he didn't show proper respect in his tefillos. That comes from the Rav Benel, and that's what it's going to be over here. Now, Yeshaya did come to him, and he wanted to give him rebuke, but the thing was that Yeshaya didn't want to go to the king. Similarly to what we had earlier with Yiftach, where Yiftach didn't want to go to Pinchas, and Pinchas didn't want to go to Yiftach in order to master up the neder with his daughter. So it's weird. Yeshaya said, why should I go to the king? The king should come to me. Hezekiah said, why should I go to the Navi? The Navi should come to me.
The king, Yiftach was a shofet.
You are correct. That's for sure true. Nonetheless, he felt that if he really needed me, you should send messengers for me. There's no question. The Navi does have the respect that's there. But Yeshaya felt that it wasn't befitting his couple to be able to go to him. Nonetheless, he caused Chizkiah to become sick, to which Yeshaya was required to go in order to be makayim the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So he went to him and he told him that the reason why you're dying is because of this, because you didn't marry and you didn't have any children, and that's the reason why, right? That's the severity. But Chizkiah said, I didn't do it because it was revealed to me through either Ruach HaKodesh or whatever it was that my children were going to be evil. So I didn't want to have any children because of that. So Yeshaya said, that's not up to you to do, right? It's not in your hands to make that decision. You have a requirement to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, that goes. It doesn't matter that you know that the kid that that's going to be. Chizkiah accepted it. He accepted the Moser, but he said, listen, I can't allow this fate to happen. Allow me to have your daughter as my wife. And if I marry your daughter, right, then maybe I'll be zocheh to have tremendous children. Maybe then, through your schlus and my schlus, we'll be able to have good children that come through. Yeshaya said, everything is too late. The gzeir is already upon you, right? There's nothing you can do about it. Which Chizkiah said the famous line, Ben Amotz, give me a second. Kalei nivuotzko betzei. Finish your nivu and get out of here. Kach mekuvlani beis av yaba. This is what I learned from my grandfather's house. Afilu cherev chad menachas al tzavro shel adam. Even if a sharp sword is on the neck of a person, lo something atzmo mino rachamim. A person should never hold himself. Lo mona adam atzmo mino rachamim. A person should never hold himself back from davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know.
Father?
Now, that's the kasha. Who is he talking about? Some say the Chizkiah's actual grandfather,
yeah.
Achaz and Yosam. That was Yosam. Yosam was a tzaddik.
Because Achaz was only king for a short time, and it makes sense that he learns it all to be a tzaddik from his grandfather.
Achaz was king for 16 years.
And how old was
Chizkiah was king for 29 years. Chizkiah was about... So he might have been alive when Yosam was alive. I thought he was a kid. Yeah. The difference between them is like this. Who was he talking about? He could have been talking about David HaMelech. David HaMelech davened for mercy even at that point. Even when he saw the Malach HaMavis with his sword pointed against Yerushalayim, a bloody sword against Yerushalayim, David HaMelech said, we're still going to daven. David Melech also davened when Yishbi Benov, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Sadihei threw him underneath the big olive press. He davened to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and was saved. So too could be Yoshaphat. Yoshaphat was about to be killed by the soldiers of Aram. Remember in the war, when Achav was in the war and Achav was killed, they went after Yoshaphat, thinking that he was Achav. He davened to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and he was saved, right? So because of that, he said, you finish your nevuah, now get out of here. I'm davening to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and I'm going to be saved. He davened the wall. We learn halakha from that, that you shouldn't have nothing interrupting you from the wall itself. You should be davening as close to the wall as possible so there should be nothing there. Right? And he said that. Remember, he said, what King Shlomo made for the Beis Mikdash. Remember what the woman of Shunam made for the prophet Elisha. He said, you see what she was able to do for Elisha, and that little wall that she made for the prophet gave her a child. That should give me life. The fact there, the wall could refer to the heart itself, or was an allusion to Rachel, who he was whose home was inside the wall itself. She saved just two lives. Well, I saved tons of people and I brought them close to Torah. Shouldn't I be rewarded for what he had just said? Some say that it's referring to the fact that he had hid the Sefer HaRefuos, because he hid Sefer HaRefuos. Had I had the Sefer HaRefuos, I'd know how to get out of this sickness. But because I hid the Sefer HaRefuos, that people would rely on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, show them that my tefillah is more powerful than the Sefer HaRefuos. That's what Chizkiah HaMelech said. Allow that to show what's going to be. He davened to the Kir, and he was granted life. He cried a tremendous cry, and now here's what happened. He Yeshaya lo yatzah chotzer. Yeshaya had not yet gone outside the chotzer. Hatichona, the middle chotzer. Dvar Hashem Yalev Lemor, Hashem spoke to him saying, Shuv v'amarzo Chizkiyo. Go return and say to Chizkiyo, Negid ami, you are the prince of my nation. Kol amar Hashem Elokei David avicha. So says God, the God of David your father. It's clear that the schos must have been in David HaMelech. Shamati es tefillosecha, I heard your tefillah. Reisi es dimasecha, I saw saw your tears. I'm healing you, and the third day you're going to go up to the base of Mikdash. I'm adding on 15 years to your kingdom. I will save you from the king of Ashur. You see from there that it could be this is before Sennacherib, because who was the king of Ashur if not for Sennacherib? Others say somebody else may have taken Sennacherib's place. And this well is the city. I will protect this city, for my sake and for the sake of David HaMelech. The Gemara learned from over here that Chizkiyo davened in his own merit that he should be saved because of what I did, and Hashem said, I'll save you because of David HaMelech, not because of you. Yes, I'm sorry.
Why does it tell him how many years? When do we ever find that somebody knows how many years that?
That's a great call. How many times does a person get saved and get told 15 years? I remember seeing a vort once that said why specifically 15 years, and it's something to do with Chizkiyah, and I forgot what it is. Chazak Yah, that's what he was named for, but I don't remember what. And I don't remember what the vort was.
15?
Yeah, you'd pay, but I don't remember why he was specifically that.
But why is the rule? Why is he telling him 15 more years? Why just tell him I'm saving you this time? And
I don't know. I absolutely have no idea. Apparently, right, there's a lot over here. If he would have died that early, then he would have died. He died at the age of 54. At the end of the day. So 54 minus 15 is 39, right? He would have died at the age of 39 over here. So that would have looked really, really bad. I guess 54 is a little bit better. 39? I don't know anyone. 37 was the Ram. 36 is the Ramah. 37 is the Rizal. 39, I think, the Ramchal. It was 39, maybe 40. But that's that.
What's his name? Who wrote this? Ari Kaplan also died around that age.
He died young, yeah. Either way, regardless, that's what it was supposed to be over here. There's no question that Chizkiyo was added on. Now, he did end up marrying the daughter of Yeshaya. He did end up having an evil son by the name of Menasha. Now, it could be that because he married the daughter of Yeshaya, so therefore Menasha became a big tzaddik at the end of his life. So, like, he was saved, and he did tshuva. However, there's an amazing Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Unbelievable Orach Chaim HaKadosh. I can't remember where it is offhand. But the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says that the reason why Menasha was still born evil, even though Chizkiyah and Yeshaya's daughter were together, is because Yeshaya's daughter served the servants of Bavel who came to eat at his tables, we're about to see. She served them at the table. And when she saw them, she thought of one of the Avadim of Bavel, that one of the guys was really good looking, and she had that in her head when she was next with Chizkiyah. And that, whenever she was with Chizkiyah, she became impregnated that night. That thought was inside her head, and that caused Menashe to become an evil person. That's what the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says as to why Menashe still came out, even though Chizkiyo davened for it, even though Yeshaya's daughter was there, that their schuyos did not help. An amazing shot, a chiddush from the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. I don't know where he got it from, but he said that that's the shot behind what happened over here. Either way, regardless, we're going to see the results. He was saved, everything worked out well. Yeshaya said, take pressed figs. They took it, they put it on top of the boils that were on Chizkiyo's body, and he lived. Some say that was the natural cure for this type of a skin ailment, then he just forgot it up until now. Others say it was a complete miracle, didn't make any sense whatsoever, and that was the Nevuah. And you should save it through a miracle and through anything else. That's the idea behind it. That it couldn't have been. We'll see you later, Dave. But that's that. What sign is there, asked Chizkiyo, that Hashem is going to heal me completely and that I'm going to go up on the third day to the base of Mikdash? In other words, usually Nevuos are completed with signs. There's something that they're shown. Here's the sign that you get from God. Here is the idea, and here's what's going to happen. Okay, so says God that whatever is going to happen, then the tzil, the shadow that will be there, will be 10 notches different. And if it goes back those 10 notches, then everything will be okay. Now, Chazal tell us, this is brought down with the Gemara as well, that by the time of Achaz, when Achaz died, he died early in the morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle, made the sun set, or seeming to set, let's call it, if it wasn't like a straight out miracle, we'll call it like a, it seemed to the people like a crazy miracle, which the sun set 10 hours early. When eclipses didn't last that long, so that'd be almost impossible.
It was at the second hour of the day, there was an eclipse, and then it was
I'd say it was easier, there would just be unbelievably cloudy, or it was a crazy miracle. Could very well be that it just was 10 hours early, but it set 10 hours early. those 10 hours would be made up now. And that's what was going to happen right now, that all 10 hours are going to be brought back, that the day that Chizkiyahu became better, right, there would be 10 hours added to the day. That it would be a 22-hour day altogether to make up for what had happened. And it was a reversal of what was going to happen. And that's the idea behind it. He wanted to know that he wasn't just being comforted, so to speak.
22 hours of daylight?
22 hours of daylight, that's correct. Not only, and then another 12 hours a night. You know, whatever it is. And that's what it was supposed to be. It's easy for the tzel to move 10 miles. I've seen that happen before. I wanted to go back 10 miles. In other words, make up the time that that Achaz lost out on. Yishai called out to Hashem. So the 10 hours were brought back in, and that ended up happening. I don't know how they told time back then. I would assume that they had a pendulum system, because pendulums would be easy. Sundials obviously work when there's sun, right? But when there's no sun, it doesn't work very well, and at night it doesn't help. But a pendulum would be the easiest way. I'm sure they figured that out. I'm sure that wasn't like it. That's not a chokmah that was figured out in the last 200 years. You know what I'm saying? So they must have known in some way. So I'm assuming that that's the reason how they knew that it was an actual 10 hours that were there, because you do things like that. What?
Observatory? Did you go up there in Los Angeles? Was it observatory?
No, I didn't see it. I didn't see it up there. I did go up to the observatory.
When you walk into the observatory, there's this massive.
I didn't go into the observatory.
And it
yeah.
rotates with the rotation of the Earth.
Yeah.
And as so you can see, that's how you know they have.
No, that's how they have it, yeah. In the Museum of Science and Industry, they have 4 different pendulums throughout the place. And they're amazing. They're absolutely amazing how they work. It's amazing. But that's how everybody's whole time.
What's that mean that it rotates?
I can't even explain it. It's constant motion. It's constant motion. It never stops. There's no way the pendulum stops. That's part of the whole chokhmah of the pendulum. It's some type of a metal that once you start moving it, it never stops moving. It keeps going. Some type of whatever it is.
It's energy. It goes up this way. It forces the other side.
It goes, in, it goes the other way. And then it keeps moving around, and if you put on the bottom like what time it is, and you put the little things down, you can always know what time it is anytime during the day just by looking around. It's never wrong, absolutely never wrong, and it's amazing. It's really one of the most amazing things you've ever seen. It's never wrong, never off, and it never goes off. I mean, they put it up there in the Museum of Science and Industry, what, 25, 30 years ago, and it's done the exact same thing for the last 30 years. It has never stopped moving, it has never stopped telling time. It's an amazing thing. So that's the idea behind it. So I don't know, it is an amazing thing. They have it on the bottom floor right by the lunchroom. You can see it inside there. It's possible that none of this involved the sun, that it was involving the light, of obscuring the light and bringing back the light. It could be, it has to do with that as well. Either way, it has to be some type of a miracle, because this can't be anything natural. Pasuk Yud Beis. Voisahi, Shalach Brodach Bladon Ben Bladon. Brodach Bladon Ben Bladon. I don't know if his real name was Brodach Bladon, son of Bladon, or if his name was Brodach and then Bladon Ben Bladon. I have no idea. But Melech Bava, the king of Bava, Sparamu Minchal Chizkiyahu. He sent him, you know, letters as well as a gift to Chizkiyahu. He heard that Chizkiyahu had gotten sick. By Yishma Alein Chizkiyahu heard about it. By Yarmis Kol Beis Nechoso. So what did he do? He brought in all the Babylonian kings who were coming to say, oh wow, look what God did to us. And he brought him over to the whole treasure house. As a Kesef, as a Zob, as a Vesam, as a Shem and Atov. He gave him silver, gold, spices, good oils, as base kalim, and all of his base kalim, as kosher and interval throws of everything in his treasures. There was nothing that Chizkiyahu did not show him. Now, here's the amazing part over here. Number one, if Chizkiyahu was still in the middle of the siege with Sennacherib, this never could have happened. So that's one raya that this must have happened after Sennacherib was already gone. If Sennacherib was in the middle of the siege, or even had left for a little bit, and that's when the king of Babel happened, maybe the king of Babel was trying to start a coup together with Chizkiyahu against the king of, you know, against Sennacherib. If that's what happened, how did Chizkiyahu have all this money? He just gave a ton of money to Sennacherib. If this happened afterward, it makes a lot of sense. He just took all the spoils from Sennacherib. He got all the gold and the silver and everything like that from all the people in Sennacherib. It would make a ton of sense that he had crazy amounts of treasuries. But I don't have a full answer as to if those who say that this happened during the times where Sennacherib was surrounding Yerushalayim and Sennacherib was fighting, because yo, how in the world did he have all this money? Unless all of this is a remnant to the Beis HaMikdash and the Sefer Torah and all the holy things that the Jews had, and not literally gold and silver, etc. Yeah.
According to Rashi and Ezra, that it was 3 days before Sennacherib was destroyed. So
yeah.
He got better, he took all the scrolls, then
whatever.
A few months later would have been when Sennacherib was there. And you're right, that is brought down over here, and it has to be that something like this, because otherwise it's extremely difficult to be able to say what happened over here.
It's showing off. It's not a thing to do to show off all your wealth.
Now, on Chizkiah's side, this was an absolute chait. There's no question that it was a chait of Chizkiah, and Chizkiah was punished for what he did over here. There's no question Chizkiah was punished. According to some parts of Chazal, there is a Maimer Chazal, Yesh Omrin, that he brought them into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that's how bad it was, that he showed them what was inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, right, and he was willing to go ahead and show them all these different types of stuff. Others say, as we said before, that he let his wife pour them drinks, and his wife would have been the daughter of Yeshaya, and that's what he ended up doing over here, or he showed them weapons that could destroy other weapons. We don't know what that is, but he showed them a weapon that could destroy other weapons. Yeah, I mean, destroy everything, right? That would be something like that. But either way, there's absolutely no question. How did the king of Babel find out about this? Well, if the sun did move back in time, then it makes a lot of sense that everybody would have known about this, right? If that was the miracle that was there. Others say that nobody had ever recovered from this illness. It was as if somebody had, you know, like the worst form, like, and let's just say it right now because it just happened, right? Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, was just, you know, there was one rabbi in River Falls, Shmuel Levitz, in the Mir Yeshiva, who took in experimental medicine, and apparently it worked perfectly. It worked perfectly. Now, obviously, we know that somebody like Rafal Shmuel Levitz, it could have just been the tefillos of the people in the Mir Yeshiva. It's not a medicine that actually works, but it worked for him. We have absolutely no idea. But when something like that happens, you hear somebody who's healed from ALS, right? All of a sudden, that goes throughout the whole world. Chizkiah was healed from this crazy sickness that everybody was dying from. Everybody ran to Yerushalayim to go here. Well, what in the world did you do? How did you get healed? That's the idea behind it. So immediately after the king of Babel left, Yeshaya the Navi came to the king Chizkiah. What did these men say? Where did they come from? To you, they came from a faraway land, from Babel. Okay, notice what he said over there. What did they see in your house? They really saw everything in my house. I did not leave alone anything that I didn't show them among my treasures. I'm sure that was embarrassing. But Chizkiah showed no remorse for what he had done, meaning he thought that he had done the right thing. He wanted to make a Kiddush Hashem. He felt that showing them all these things would be a Kiddush Hashem. So he said, like, I think that that's the best thing, you know, the idea behind it, and that's the idea of what it was. Chizkiah was trying to say that, listen, I don't think I did anything wrong. I think it was perfectly fine with this. Yeshayah said to Chizkiah, listen to the word of God. Days are going to come, and they're soon enough. These people, these Babylonians, are going to carry away everything that's in your house. Everything that you stored up until this day from your fathers, it will be brought to Babel. Nothing will be left, Amar Hashem, says God. From the children that come from you, are told that you will give birth to Yikahu. They will take them. And they will become ministers in the house of the king of Babel, and that refers to Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. Yes.
Are we saying that it's Chizkiah's fault that he brought on Gullah's Babel?
Not his fault that Gullah's Babel happened, but his fault that it happened to Babel more than anybody else. He said, aside from that, it's not a smart thing to bring possible enemies in the future into the private recesses of your palace and the Beis HaMikdash to show them all the ways of getting in. Even if Nebuchadnezzar wasn't necessarily there, it still wasn't a smart thing for him to go around showing everybody what was going on over here. And therefore, he was guilty of three sins altogether. Number one, his pride, his gaiva of succeeding and what he thought he had over there. Secondly, there was no reason for him to show personal treasures whatsoever. That was a dumb thing to be able to do in the second place. Number three, he did not attribute everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way he should have. He failed to properly explain them as nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that, as great as Chizkiah was, there was expectations that should have been a little bit more than what it was. He doesn't say. He showed him everything. And that's the idea behind it. Lo haya davar asher lo haram Chizkiah b'beis Hashem shalto. Clearly the little stuff. And the Chazal are darshaning that it's not only that, it's got to be everything, even the words of what he had said. He must have told them things that weren't there. Some say it refers to Lukos and that. Chizkiah definitely did tshuva. There's absolutely no question about that, and there's no question that he did tshuva. The word of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said is good. That's Tov. He said, Is it not true that there will be Shalom and there will be Tov during my days? Some say that was another Chet of Chizkiah. How in the world did you go ahead after you just heard all this stuff and you say, well, at least it's going to be good during my own days? How could you say that? What in the world are you saying? But the others say this is exactly what Chizkiah meant. I got out of the first one, right? You told me I was going to die and I survived that one by davening. I have peace and good for the rest of my days. I can daven about this for years to come. I can daven about this and I'm sure that I can take care of it and I can make sure that that's not going to happen. I can avoid it if I can. I'm sorry? Well, yeah. I mean, he has reason to think so. He has reason to think so. I've survived this before. I have the ability to do this. I know that there's going to be a punishment, but if it's going to be postponed until my death, I have a lot of time to be able to take care of this, and that's the idea. Chizkiah was also wanted to hope for that he'd be able to have children that would be able to do good people. Remember, this whole thing is saying he thought that his son was going to be a very evil person, right? Very evil person. So it would be likely that he's sitting there and saying, oy vey, what if it happens in my son's lifetime? But it sounded from the way Yeshayahu was saying it that it's going to happen years in the future. So then he's like, oh wow, that means it's not going to happen during Menashe's time. So that means my son is going to be a good person. So he got some good news in all this. Or at least was going to be born. Remember, we said that Yeshayahu's daughter saw from one of the servants of Babylonia and had that person in mind. So, everything that Chizkiah did is strength, and the fact that he made the pool and the channel. In other words, remember, he cut off all the water sources to Yerushalayim. He cut off the Mei Gihon. So he allowed there to be other pools in Yerushalayim for water to fall. And that way he brought more water into the city. Unfortunately, it was contingent upon rain and no longer on a spring, but at least he had the ability to bring in water. We'll talk about that over there. Chizkiah died with his fathers. Now notice, he slept with his fathers, but it's a kasha whether or not he was actually buried together with David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech in that area. It's most probable that he was, because of what it says. Nonetheless, Menashe, his son, became king after him, and that's bad. Now the last thing we want to mention over here is that there were six things that Chizkiah did. Three of them Chazal agreed with, three of them Chazal did not agree with. The three things that they did agree with is that he hid the Sefer HaRefuos, right, so that people would have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu instead of using the book. He destroyed the Nachash Nechoshes, that copper snake that people were starting to use as a Avodah Zarah, right, that's number two. And number three, I don't know how to put it, but he dragged the bones of his father Achaz through the streets to show everyone that somebody who disrespects the Torah should get this type of punishment. So those are the three things that he did that they agreed with, and they were perfectly fine. The three things that he did not do was he diverted the flow of the spring of Gihon, the May Gihon, during the war of Sennacherib in order to make sure that Sennacherib's army wouldn't have enough water. That they disagreed with because that was a terrible thing for the future. In fact, there's a famous story, which we're not going to go through right now, but Reb Chaim Vital, how Reb Chaim Vital was supposed to open up those springs, and had he done so, Mashiach could have come. That's what the Arizal told Reb Chaim Vital. It was his fault for not doing it. And the king at the time, the leader of the Arabs at the time, was named Abu Sippin. And Abu Sippin in Arabic is the same translation as Sennacherib in Aramaic. And that it stood for father of the sword or leader of the sword. Right? Abu Sippin and Chizkiyahu's Gilgal was in Reb Chaim Vital. Reb Chaim Vital's tikkun was supposed to open up the Mei Gihon, and when he didn't do so, the Arizal said, you messed it up.
Oh my God.
And that's what he's Reb Chaim Vital. This is Reb Chaim Vital. Reb Chaim Vital, this is after the Arizal already died, by the way. The Arizal came to him in a dream after he had done Kfitz Haderach to go to Damascus. Long story. But regardless, Reb Chaim Vital was blamed for what had ended up happening over there. It's an unbelievable story. Then the other thing is that he cut down. I'm sorry?
Has it ever been open? I
mean, no. Well, we don't even know where it is.
Oh, they have it still.
No, they have a tiny little stream that goes below around Ir David, which you go into when you used to take the tunnel tours. I don't know if they still do it, or the Ir David tour. They go through it, and I went through it once. It's an unbelievable place, but it's a tiny little stream. You got nothing there. There's nothing there. But deep down below, underneath the base of Mikdash, they say, those who are in the Dome of the Rock, that you can hear water flowing underneath.
Where's it going?
Way underneath. Who knows? I'm sure, hopefully they'll find it. Either way, the other thing is that they cut up the doors of the Mishkan in order to give it over to the king of Ashur of the base of Mikdash, and that was a problem. I said Mishkan. The last one is that he extended the extra month. He made an Ubaryor in Nisan. Once Nisan hit, meaning Adar had already passed, and then Nisan hit Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then Chizkiah decided to make an Ubaryor and made an extra month of Adar. That's what he ended up doing over there. The reason why they did that is because there were people had become tummy during that time, right, in the time after they had been in a war, and because of that, he knew that they wouldn't become tahor in time for the Korban Pesach, so he decided to make an Uber Yor after it was already Rosh Chodesh Nisan in order to allow them to bring the Korban Pesach in its proper time, but that wasn't the right thing to do. Others say it's because they found the skull of Arvana Hayabusi, who was the original owner of, you know, the area of Harabayas, and because they did that, that was that. Either way, because of that, Chizkiyo did great things, but there were three things that they disapproved of. That's a Mishnah Sachem, I believe, in the third part, fourth part, in the fourth part.
If we all do like three Sachem bad things, I mean, it's
Halabai, yeah.
Yeah. Horrible, God forbid, but like...
No, Chizkiyo was one of the greatest kings we've ever had, if not one of them. Remember, the people in his time, every single person knew Tumah and Tara Baal Peh. They were all experts in Tumah and Tara, from Dan ad Beis El, which means that includes the kingdom of Israel, whoever was living in the kingdom of Israel at the time.
Chizkiyo is a great descendant from Shlomo?
Yeah. Yeah, what?
Nobody was there by the almost every year's exile.
Well, no question. However, there might have been people that went there after the exiles happened. So who knows? We have no idea. But Shtemis Reish Shana Menashe B'Malcho. So Menashe was 12 years old when he became king. Now that does make a little bit of sense, right? Meaning Chizkiyo didn't have any kids. He was given 15 extra years of his life. I guess he got married right after that. And then 2 years later, whatever it was, right? That's when it had been. By the way, according to that Or Chaim HaKadosh, 13 years before Chizkiyo died would have been when Menashe was conceived, which makes sense that the king of Babel came 13 years before him. Now it's making a little bit of sense. Okay, either way, the Chamishim HaChamish Shana Malach Yerushalayim, he was king for 55 years. If I remember correctly, that is the longest out of everyone. The other longest is Uzziah, who is 52, but even Uzziah's 52 was not exactly, because remember, part of that, he Saras, and he had been taken down from his kingdom. Anyway, he was king for 55 years. His mother's name was Chatziba, meaning Chatziba was the daughter of Yeshaya. Okay, the daughter of Yeshaya. But Yatharabi and Hashem, he did evil in the eyes of Hashem, Kiswab was the going of Hashem, Horish Hashem, Yibayim and Yisrael, like the abominations of the nations that Hashem had driven out from Bnei Yisrael. Like Yashav, even as the bubbles. He went and rebuilt the bubbles. Those bubbles that were already destroyed by Yosam, Chizkiyo's father, he rebuilt all of them. Hashem, Ibar Chizkiyo, Avi, that Chizkiyo had gotten rid of by Yakam, his Bechos, Labal, and he made up more Mizbechos for Baal, but Yathashera, and he made Nashera, right? That's the feminine version. Kasher also Achav Melech Yisrael, just like Achav had done. He bowed down to all the constellations of the heavens. He believed in all the horoscopes. Vayavod Hashem, and he served them. One of Mizbechos Beis Hashem, Asher Omer Hashem Yerushalayim, Asim Shmi. He made Mizbechos in the house of Hashem, meaning actual Mizbechos for Avodah Zarah in the Beis Hamikdash. That Hashem had said in Yerushalayim that I want my name there. He made all the Mizbechos for all the constellations. Mishtei Chatzos Beis Hashem in the two courtyards of the Beis Hashem, the Ezras Nashim and the Ezras Yisrael. That's what he made over there, and he allowed it to be in those two places. What are you going to say to
Samuel? So we see he had some sort of, he made bamos. That's usually a sign of you want to serve God no matter where.
Unless he was doing it lahakis, which is definitely the illusion that it seems to be saying the whole time. They were doing just mamish to anger God. Remember, if the people all around Yerushalayim, they all knew Torah, and they were all experts in Torah, Menashe must have been an expert in Torah. Chizkiyo would spend no expense.
There's only 12 years old
expense to go.
I mean, I know 12 was different then, but like,
they must have taught him everything that he could possibly know at that time. But remember, he's Chizkiyo's son. He was a brilliant genius. He was able to learn Torah's Kohanim in 55 different ways, according to the Gemara. 55 different ways. I don't think any of us have ever done Torah's Kohanim. We barely know what Torah's Kohanim is. But he understood 55 different facets of Torah's Kohanim, according to the Gemara, which meant he had a genius. No, they for sure had Torah's Baal Peh.
No, I know.
Whatever it was, the Baal Peh of Vayikra, that's what he was. That's what it would have been.
Yeah, we're talking about how we felt he couldn't be king because he was 9 years old when he was started.
But the name Menashe was an allusion to the sin. Menashe meant he forgot. He forgot God and made people forget. That's the word Noshe, to make people forget. That's the idea of what he was before him.
Menashe is a good name because he also named his son Menashe. And if he's getting named his son.
No, there's no question that Menashe is there. The reason why Menashe was named Menashe? Does anybody remember from the Torah itself? Straight out puzzle. As Kol Amali. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me forget all of my toil among my father's house. Right? So there is a good thing about that. It seems to be somewhat of a bad thing as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me forget what I had in my father's house. And what I had, you know, he was now the king of Egypt. And it was different. And things were completely different.
No,
so
but
there's,
for 50, that's a good thing. thing. His father wasn't a great person.
And that's true for Kiskiya's line of Menashe. Either way, but there's no question, Menashe could be a different type of enemy, could be something good and have an allusion to good as well. There were five different stages to his wickedness. Okay, number one, he personally sinned. Number two, he influenced others to sin. Number three, he caused others to worship Avodah Zarah. Number four, he bowed down to the constellations, which no one had done before that. Number five, he brought Mizbechos into the Beis HaMikdash itself. Pasuk Vav. The Hebrews Mil Ba'esh. He brought his son through fire. In other words, again, the Molech thing. Ma'onein B'nichesh. Vasa Ovi Yidonin. He did Ma'onein, he did Menachesh. In other words, he did the horoscopes, and he did Menachesh's, what do they call them?
No.
Divination is what they call it, but not divinations. It was Menachesh's, what do they call it?
Nichush.
Omens. No, it's not the good word for it. Nichush is when I say, Eliezer did Nichush. If this happens, then I'll know that you're my God. What do they call it? Yeah, but there's a word for it. It's superstitions. Superstitions is what it was. That's the idea. But the Ovidonin, right? Ovidonin is going to be, the Ov was the famous bone that you put underneath your armpit. The Yidoni is when you put the bone underneath your mouth. And there we go, that's the word. He did so much that was evil in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes that he did it lahakis. Okay, we talked about that. It seems that he never had children that survived from this time of his life. He literally killed all of his children in Molech. Literally sent every child he had through Molech.
Why?
You can't only send your firstborn through Molech. He was Mamet, he was at the Kofid of Molech, and sent all of his kids through. It was unbelievable. Yeah.
He had like an extreme personality, and growing up in his father's house, which was very religious,
pious and whatever it was.
And so he really, like, not only
did he unbelievable, man.
No,
you're right. It sounds like that's what he was, because we're
going
to see
him more extreme than
Menashe. Literally turns the other way. He goes the exact opposite way. There is no in between by Menashe. It's interesting, isn't it? That's the way Yosef HaTzadik was. Yosef HaTzadik was also the extremist. Never building himself up. Yosef HaTzadik was the guy who was, he was the king of the brothers thrown in a pit, right? King of the jail, right? Potiphar's house, and then thrown in jail. Then king of Mitzrayim. He's like up, down, up, down, up, down. Nothing, you know?
His position here is his action.
Maybe his personality was the same way. I don't think it's a coincidence that the name Menashe is one of Yosef's sons. Maybe he took on that, so to speak, that personality trait of Yosef. That's an interesting call.
He was just born this Molech person, whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
hold on. We just said that he sent all of his kids there, but we just said that he was into this Avodah
Zarah. Oh, okay.
Tesa Asherah. He put the statue of the Asherah tree, Asherah, B'mayis Asherah, Amar Hashem, David, Shlomo, B'no, B'mayis Zev, Yerushalayim, Shemachat, Yom, Kosh, Yisrael, Asim, Shri, Lolom. In that area where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is my name, this is my place, he put down the idol inside it. Now, here's what he did with the Asherah tree. Remember, the Asherah tree is the female version of the Baal. Okay, there was a feminine version, and that's what it was supposed to be. He remodeled it and gave it four faces, just like the Chayos HaKodesh, right? The Chayos HaKodesh that were up there in Shemayim. He put one face on each one on each side, showing symbolically that wherever God was, he could still sin. That he still was, he was able to sin from all directions altogether right over there. What he wanted to do was to drive out the Shekhinah from where it was and to bring Tumah back into the Beis HaMikdash and allow Tumah to be there completely. That's the idea behind it. Remember, guys, that Selem that was put in the Heichal is one of the five reasons why we fast at Shavuot Sivatamos. So that's Selem Beheichal. Menashe put a Selem in the Heichal. This is it. No, this is the Menashe Selem Beheichal. So this is the reason why we end up doing it. Menashe put the idol inside the Beis HaMikdash. When he put that inside, that's when the fruit tree, remember the fruit tree that gave off golden fruits of Shlomo Melech? It dried up and died. That's how they knew that it was so bad. But
when Menashe would be like, okay, I'll take it out of here, I just want to give it go to King Zinnikon.
I mean, I don't understand. I mean, he also, by the way, extinguished the fire that was on top of the Mizbeach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He took all the fire, put water on it, and extinguished the fire so that no one could bring the Mizbeach on top of it. The Mizbeach of Hashem?
No. Where do you know that from?
The Gemara. The Gemara brings it down that he extinguished the fire and that he took care of the fire itself. We're talking about a guy who tried to get rid of every miracle that could possibly be in the Beis HaMikdash to allow people to think that it's just another house and it's not that big of a deal. It's not. It's not in Kufug. It might be in Yerushalmi, but it's not in Sanhedrin. No, I don't think so.
In 50 years, when you, or however many years it was when he did Teshuva, how many years do you remember?
23. We're going to see 22 years of bad, 23 years of Teshuva.
I mean, okay, it's not as much time, but still, how do people remember to start doing everything again? Like the Kohanim, like 22 years, they haven't done anything.
That's something we're going to talk about when we get to Yoshia. We're going to talk about what happened with Yoshia, because
right.
We're going to see when we get to Yoshia and two more things.
Yeah, but 22 years,
David's definitely right, that there's for sure people that remembered, but how did it get to Klal Yisrael? So remember, we're dealing with tons of people. Well, that's what we're going to talk with Yoshia, what happened. But we're talking tons of people knew everything in times of Chizkiyahu. That couldn't have been lost completely. There had to be people who knew it. But, let's see. Let's see what ended up happening. Well, Osip Lahanid Regal Yisrael Min Adam Asher Natati Lavosam. He did not longer, he no longer allowed, he said, I'm not going to allow people to travel the land in that way. Asher Natati Lavosam Rakim Yishmu Lavosam Kehosh Tivisim said, only if they keep the laws that I commanded the law Torah Shavuot some Avi Moshe that I commanded the hands of Avi Moshe. If they do that, then everything will be good. If not, then things will be bad. But they didn't listen. Menashe lost the Rami Nagoyim Asher Hishma Hashem Mipnei Bnei Yisrael. Menashe made them go astray. They did evil, and they learned the evil from the Goyim that Hakadosh Baruch Hu destroyed from Bnei Yisrael. By Yidaber Hashem Yadavod Vanim Leimor. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu then commanded the prophets, and he told them the following. I don't remember who the prophets were. The funny thing is that no Nevi'im are mentioned by name during the times of Menashe. Why do you remember? Right? Edo, Yoel, and Nachum. Those are the three that were alive at the time.
Alive until Menashe killed him?
Yeshaya was alive until Menashe killed him. That was his grandfather. Habakkuk, that's right. So who was it? It was Yoel, Nachum, Habakkuk. Right?
Habakkuk. He doesn't mention Yoel.
He doesn't mention those. Okay. But those are the Nevi'im that he told, but they don't mention their names specifically because the Nevi'im did not want to be known to be in any way connected with Menashe. That's why they're specifically left out. It says,
Redox says the three of Yoel, Nachum, and Habakkuk.
Oh, he does say it. Okay. Yanesh or also Menashe, Melech Yehudah, who was Ela, because Menashe, the king of Yehudah, did these abominations. Hey, Rabbi Kolosh, also Amori, he did worse than all the Amori, actually, that were in front of him. But Yanesh, he got his Yehudah, be Gimulav, and he made the people of Yehudah sin with all of his idols. Lachain, call Menashe, Melech Yisrael, because so says God to Israel, or so says the God of Israel. He did he may be wrong, Yerushalayim, Yehudah, share Kol Shom'a, Titzal Nashtei Aznav. I'm going to bring such evil on Yerushalayim and Yehuda that anybody who hears about it is going to like close both of their ears. They don't want to hear what's going to happen. But at Titzal Yerushalayim is Kav Shomron. I will bring upon Yerushalayim what happened in the Shomron. That's Mishkolas Beis Akav, as well as the weight of the house of Akav and how they were killed. I'm going to wipe out Yerushalayim as one wipes a plate clean, turning it over and literally destroying it. I'm going to destroy Yerushalayim the same way that it's going to be over here. Some say that the people of Menashe's time were still good. And the only reason why it didn't happen right now in Menashe's time is because the people were still tzaddikim, and they were trying to keep everything they could while Menashe was doing all of this evil.
Listen, no disrespect, but these threats are been empty up until now. This isn't the first time God said
there was no threat of destruction to David HaMelech's house. To Achav, yes. To the other people in Bnei Yehu, Bnei Yisrael, it was, because that's where most of the Nevi'im were up until now. Eliyahu and Elisha telling them. There was not a single threat that we know of given to the house of Yehuda before Chizkiyahu was told about Brodach Bladen ben Bladen, right? And now what's told over to Menashe. But
that Chizkiyahu would get the threat. It seems like, I mean, there were kings before him who were much worse than Chizkiyahu, maybe not as bad as Israel, but now Chizkiyahu, who did all, was the big daddy since David HaMelech, he's getting the threat of destruction, and he has to want to be the one to do the Shuvah.
Listen, this is what we learned about who's the last king of Yisrael, right? What did the last king, Hoshea ben Ela, what did he do? Hoshea ben Ela took away the Parasios that stopped people from going to the Mishkan. And that's when they were destroyed. Because when you have those expectations, now all of a sudden you're supposed to go to the base of Mikdash and you don't go. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. And that's what we have to learn it over here.
At the time of Kiske, that there must have just the breakdown in society. The time of Kiske really strengthened it, but it wasn't...
There was something wrong. There was something wrong. Yeah, there's no question. You don't really throw out a king of Yehuda.
They were having a good time.
And yeah, it could be that they liked them. It could be that they liked them.
It sounds like you with Jericho, you know, some they were so great, they were so amazing.
There were people that were great. There were people that were amazing.
There's no way they could throw them out. They liked all the stuff.
We don't know.
Also, maybe to a simple person, the king makes the laws.
Yeah,
the king is saying, like, all right, guys, all those laws, all right,
talking about
yeah, how do you, I don't think it's not like so easy, like, oh, let's just overthrow the king. It's not like, I don't know of anybody.
The king of Yehuda.
Who do that? It's just not done. It's just not done, even when they had evil kings.
That's right.
Atalia was the queen.
Right, but she
came from Akkad. Even right. More so, she was a daughter of a king, she was still a queen. She was in the palace already. She still had her followers. I can hear that a little bit. Somebody to come around, I don't know who would do it. I mean, Asha didn't have any kids. There's no kids here. I mean, he killed all of them. But Natasha is sherry not lost you, and it's not to be out of Ideham. I'm going to abandon the remainder of the people of my inheritance. I'm going to put them into the hands of their enemies, while you Levaz, Ulum Shisa Vahoyvam, and they're going to be trampled and plundered by everybody. Yadash also was Rabbi and I because they did the evil in my eyes. They're angry with me, and a Yomashi also Abu Sim time about a Yomazet. From the day that they left their left Mitzrayim until that day. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but literally the last 800 years they've been doing this. They got dumb ducky shop up in Ashar Bemod. He also spilled much innocent blood. Adashar Milu Shlaim Pella Pella Bande Khatasu Asher Hakias Yudalasto Rabbi Hashem. He filled you Shlaim from mouth to mouth, from one end to the other, with all these murders, right? Aside from the evil that he had done in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. Now, what did he do over here? Yeshaya, his deity, came to Menashe and told him, Anakel, you're being bad. This is Yeshaya's grandson. This is not like we're talking about like Yeshaya going up to a random king. He's just like, honey, this is not what we do. Yeshaya went up to Menashe and told him, you gotta stop, right? So, listen to this. Menashe tried him for going up against him and sentenced him to death. He said, Moshe, your master, said that no man that said about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that no man can see me and live. Lo yirani adam b'chai. But you say in your nevuos that you saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting on his throne. You're a liar, you're a false prophet, and therefore you have to die. Unbelievable, right? You said, Yirshu Hashem b'imazo, Kro'uhu b'yoso karov. Call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's found, right? Call out to him when he's so close. Moshe said, whatever, that, Hashem Elokeinu b'chol koreinu elov. Who is like Hashem that you could always call out to him? No, you're saying you should only call out to him when you're close. He said, you're chai misa for that. So Yeshaya thought, listen, I could answer him, but he's clearly not looking for answers. It's better that I don't tell him. Let his sin remain one of ignorance instead of saying it lahachis. That's what he wanted. So he pronounced HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and was swallowed up by a tree. Menashe saw that miracle of how Yeshaya disappeared, was unaffected. He got down all of his servants, and they took axes, and they cut down the tree that Menashe was hidden, that Yeshaya was hidden inside. When they came to the prophet's mouth, that's when he died. That's what the Gemara says about what it was. How that works, I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. I've never been an Ent, so I have no clue. But otherwise, Menashe did kill him in that way. Menashe did kill otherwise thousands of people. Every single day, he had 1,000 people lift up one of his idols, but the idol was so heavy that it crushed every single one of them. So in one day, he would kill 1,000 people every single, you know, in that way. That day, every single day.
Why would Yeshaya die for
doing that? Wasn't
the right thing to do in that situation?
You can look it up a little bit later. But no, it wasn't the right thing to do. No, it seems like it's little, but who knows? You know, when you get to these types of things, I don't know. Plus, it's dying. No, you're right. You're right. 1,000 does seem a little bit round. But yesterday, from an actual whole show, also called Tosso Shur Kota, Aloin Ksuma, Tifa Dibri Yamla, Yuda, all the things that Menashe did, his sins, etc., it's written in Dibri Yamla, yet, Mishka Menashe, Mabosama, Yikavir, Began Beso, he died with his fathers, who was buried in the garden of his house, Began Uza, Yimroch, Amon, Benotasov, and Amon, his son, ruled after him. Now, the crazy thing is, nothing else about Menashe. However, Dibra Yamim goes about. He was captured, Menashe, by the king of Babel. King of Babel had captured him, taken him into their prisons. Menashe was humbled, dived into a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and at that point was raised up from the jail miraculously. He found himself back in Yerushalayim and decided that God is the true God. For 23 years, he did tshuva for what he had done. Some say that the Babylonians had put him into a great copper vat with holes in the side and began to roast him alive. He called out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he was saved from that and immediately found him in a crazy place. And you should know, when he was davening, the Malachim up in Shemayim closed the doors of heaven. They closed the gates and said, we don't want his spirit to come up here, we want him to die. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu said, if I don't accept him now, then people will say that people can never do tshuva. There's a chance that a person will never be able to do tshuva. He said, I want to accept him right over here. The earth trembled, the vat opened up, a wind came, and Menashe was blown on the wings of Kruven to Yerushalayim. Pretty good, right?
Why did somebody who does so many avirahs get such a miracle done for them?
I think it's on purpose. Show you the power of Koach of Baal Tshuva. I'm okay with perfectly with that. With the power of Baal Tshuva. Why can't it be that way?
No, because a lot of people who didn't have lead the same sort of lifestyle until this point, also because of but they got killed throughout all the years. All the people killed in the Holocaust, whatever it was.
No, in Ekonami, for some reason he deserved it. For some reason he deserved it. I don't know. And I keep calling it 23 years. It's 23 years, right?
Right, how long you rolled for?
55 years.
So I'm wrong. So it can't be 23 because that would be 46. It would have to be 33 years. Keep saying
23.
I wrote 33 and that's what I thought. It must be he did Shuvah for 33 because if he was only evil for 22, then 55 years he has to have been good for 33.
Then why does the accountant Malachi not even mention a word about his teshuvah?
I think that's the amazing part. That's where that even though we're mentioning how evil he was.
Menashe and Mavosa. If he was that bad of a person.
Yeah, that's like, by the way, then it says the next plus, it says, no, I won't continue in the ways of his father.
But he wouldn't have been, he wouldn't be Vayishkav and Mavosa if he was a terrible person.
Yeah.
He stayed terrible his whole life.
Yeah, he wouldn't have mentioned it towards the very end. But I do agree with you. There's a clear hint over here that Menashe's tshuva. Well, listen, hold on. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Menashe doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba. The Mishnah says Menashe doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba. So perhaps there's something to be learned over here. Yes, he did tshuva. Yes, he worked on it. Yes, he got everything. There were a lot of good things that he did. But nonetheless, it's possible that he didn't make it. It still wasn't enough because of everything he had done wrong. Listen, murder is not something easy to get over. No matter how much tshuva you do, how are you going to bring the person back? He killed his Zaydi, the greatest Navi in Klal Yisrael. How do you get out of that? I can hear it somewhat that this is almost an impossibility to get around. Now, you should know this is the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin. Rav Ashi, right, said that tomorrow we're going to darshan about one of our friends, Menashe. Right, so that night, Menashe came to Rav Ashi in a dream. It's pretty awesome, right? Menashe came to Rav Ashi in a dream, and he said, how dare you refer to me as your friend? Do you even know how to cut the bread? When he cut bread for Hamot, to which Rav Ashi said to him, and I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about. So Menashe said, so you can't call me your friend. So Rav Ashi said, if you tell me what the halacha is, then I'll tell it to my students. But he said, Mehecha to cut the bishula. Where it starts to cook first, that's where you cut the bread from. There are crazy pshat as to what they were talking about and why that had anything to do with Menashe. How he crusted on the outside, but he was still tahor on the inside, etc. All these different boardwalks that are out there, where Wolfson has a famous chat about what Menashe was, etc. But he said, what, if you're such a great person, said Rav Ashi, and you knew that much clearer, then how could you have done this? And Menashe said the great line, told over to Rav Ashi, had you been there at that time, you would have, thank you. You would have picked up, you would have picked up your robes and you would have run after me. And that's what you would have done. And Menashe was a tremendously great person. Tremendously great person, but thrown in by his Caiaphas. Now that goes against the pasuk that we mentioned earlier that he was lachachis. That he was doing it out of anger for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I don't know how the Gemara translates that word. Maybe at some point he was lachachis, at some point he was avos. I have absolutely no idea. There are opinions, as you mentioned, that he does get a chelik in Olam Haba, that he is going to Olam Haba and Tzvias Meis and whatever it is. Others say he wasn't. His own choice was he was not buried in the kever of Chizkio and David HaMelech or whatever it was, that he's buried separately in the Gan of Menashe. He didn't feel he was worthy to be together with them.
So, okay.
Why did he do the tshuva?
He will bury him.
I assume this is what he commanded. If he did tshuva, that would make sense. Those who buried him, if he wasn't Roy, he wouldn't have been let in.
Yeah, but if his son was evil too, he might have said that he would have cared.
And his son was evil. Yeah, there's no question that his son was evil. I guess you'd have to wonder, you know, when kings make davos at the end of their life, what happened, and who's in charge of the burial? Kaver Kedisha really can supersede certain people. King
might not have to know about it, especially if he's an uvul. Possibly didn't know.
Why did he do shuvah?
What?
Why did Manasseh do this? Why did Manasseh do shuvah for 3 years?
I don't know what you're asking. Why did he do shuvah?
Yes. I'm saying because he was a terrible person for 22 years, you know?
I don't know. He did shuvah. I don't know.
No, Manasseh, he did shuvah for 32 years?
I don't know what you're asking. Why wouldn't he do tshuva? Do you have a reason why he shouldn't?
I mean, he was such a terrible person, all of a sudden he changed, you know?
Then Ezra Shtaim Shana Amon Bemalko. Amon was 22 years old when he became king. Shtaim Shana Malach Yerushalayim. He was only king for 2 years. Shem Imo Mishulemet Bat Charutz Min Yotva. Mishulemet Bat Charutz. Now that sounds like a good name, by the way. Mishulemet is in completion or, you know, perfection. Vayatzer Avi Nei Hashem Kasher Asa Menashe Aviv. He did evil in the eyes of Hashem like Menashe, his father did. Vayelo Bechol Adarach Asher Halach Aviv. He went in all the ways of his father, Menashe. Vayavod Zegimulam Asher Avod Aviv. He did all the idols. He bowed down to them. He forsook God. He didn't go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Got worse and worse. The servants of Ammon made a coup against him. They conspired against him. They killed the king in his house. And then the people of the land killed all those that were involved in the conspiracy against the king Ammon. Because you don't kill the kings of Judah. And the people of the land made sure that Yoshia would become king after him. Now, it could be that they had a plan. Yoshi at the time was extremely young, 7, 8, 9 years old. It could be that they wanted him to be their own, you know, like whipping boy. Listen to what we have to say. You grew up, you know, among us. We're going to put you in charge, and that's that. But he quickly died. There's no question. The only reason why this coup was at all successful was because Amon was unbelievably evil and getting worse and worse. Would have done worse than Menashe, and apparently had no chance to do tshuva, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu therefore allowed the conspiracy to work, says the Miyam Loez. Otherwise, there's no way that something like that could happen. So yesterday, we Amon Asher Asa Ablang Sumas Divrei Divrei Yom Malchut Yehuda. The Yehudas of Kuvrasa began Uzza. They buried him in his kever in Gan Uzza. Yom Yoshiyah ben Atakov and Ben Yoshiyah his son became king afterward. Now we're going to learn about one of the greatest kings of Klal Yisrael. That Yoshiyah was great. Now you should just know, Amon, as evil as he was, is not mentioned in the kings that don't have a chelik in Olam Haba. The Gemara tells us that the schus of Yoshiyah his son saved Amon from not being mentioned, that Amon was given a chelik in Olam because of his son. So they all ask, so how in the world did Menashe not get a chelik from his father Hizkiyah? And the answer is, fathers don't give you that chelik the same way a son gives to a father. And that's why Achaz is also not mentioned among the kings that didn't go in, because Achaz's son was Hizkiyah HaMelech.
Was it even that? Oh wait, no, fathers can't bring
that's the difference. It's an unbelievable answer. You just have to think about that for a second.